Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Alana Sullivan. She'll be at my call screener for a little while. I'm really glad that she's here, and of course she did a fabulous job today. And thank you for giving me part of your day. Remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to because tomorrow really matters. So tell a friend and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Oil today costs more than double what it did a year ago. Oil right at $140 a barrel, up more than $5.50 on the day.
Today's a day that we got bad news on a host of household names: General Motors, Citibank, Oracle, Research in Motion, and we have very expensive oil. So we've got a combination of some very negative corporate news and expensive oil that's driving the market down precipitously.
That's Art Hogan at Jefferies & Company. The Dow fell 358 points. The S&P lost almost 39. NASDAQ was off about 80. CBS's Alexis Christophorus says it is an interconnected world these days.
We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average about to close out its worst June since the Great Depression, and a lot of that has been fueled by the jump we've seen in oil prices.
Experts say it'll put another dime in that little bitty gas pump window by Independence Day. The Second Amendment allows you, the individual, to own a handgun for self-protection.
Justice Antonin Scalia calls handguns the overwhelming choice of Americans for self-defense. He then offers some reasons why that is: easier to store in an accessible location, not easily taken by an attacker, better for people who don't have a lot of body strength. And then this, quote, "It can be pointed at a burglar with one hand while the other dials the police."
CBS's Barry Bagnato. The Supreme Court struck down a law in Washington, D.C. that outlawed private ownership of a handgun. Wayne LaPierre at the NRA.
It vindicates people all over this country that have always known it was an individual right, it was their freedom worth protecting.
The nation has been watching the battle to save one small town along the Mississippi River, Winfield, Missouri, from flood. It's a nip-and-tuck kind of fight just now at the Pin Oak Levee.
Right now, there is no more of the earthen portion of this levee that is above water. That is all submerged. It's only the sandbags on the top holding back the Mississippi. And at some spots, the river is dead even with the top of the sandbags. National Guard troops are hurrying to add another foot of sandbags along the entire length of the Pin Oak Levee because the Mississippi is set to rise another 3 to 4 inches by Friday night.
KMOX's Kevin Killeen is there. The smoke from hundreds of fires burning in California has led health officials in much of western Nevada and the eastern Sierra to put out an air pollution alert. People are being told to stay indoors. It's that smoky. In California, firefighters tackle the worst fires first and hope the others don't get away from them. That's in Butte County, California. Got about 1,000 homes in jeopardy there. Fire engineer Josh Pay White.
As we go down, the hand crews are coming with us, and their job is to make sure that we don't get any fire on the down canyon side. This is where we're going to hold this fire, and these folks are here to ensure that happens.
There's fire also caused by lightning in Big Sur on the coast. Postcard beautiful there. The battle is to keep the flames from eating 500 homes. Anheuser-Busch turns down InBev's offer to buy the company. Next question, will InBev try to go over the directors' heads to the shareholders? This is CBS News.
Summer's here. It's family vacation time. So before you hit the road, make sure your car is ready at the Sears Summer Travel Sale. Right now at the Sears Auto Center, all tires are on sale. Plus, buy three Goodyear Weather Handler LS, Eagle GTHR, or Wrangler SRA tires and get the fourth free. Get your car serviced 7 days a week, including nights, and shop while you wait. So come into the Sears Auto Center now and get ready to live like it's summer. Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 627-08 to 7508.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
The proposal is tax credits for solar and wind energy, and it's an uphill fight to get it on the floor of the Senate.
For 2 days now, a single senator has tied the Senate in knots, holding up a popular housing bill and a host of other important bills stacked up behind it. Nevada Republican John Ensign is insisting on attaching an amendment to renew solar and wind tax credits to the bill aimed at reducing foreclosures. Democratic leaders won't let him, so everything has ground to a halt, and the housing bill may have to be put off until after the July 4th recess.
That's CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. It's more than bugs in rugs, those rugs from Afghanistan and from Pakistan. It's drugs in rugs from thugs in rugs, and customs caught them in China. Thin, hollow plastic tubes were wrapped in fiber, but packed with heroin, and then woven into the rugs, with any bugs, by the thugs. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, coming your way from San Francisco, where we have slightly apocalyptic skies. More than 800 wildfires continue to burn up and down the Golden State. And I'm not real close to any of them, but the sky, well, the sky is filled with a haze, and it blocks the sunshine. So stay indoors if you have to, and, well, put a washcloth over your mouth if you need to cleanse the air before you breathe it. We've got lots to talk about, great people to talk with on the program today. Faz Shakir will join us in a moment from the Center for American Progress. Lots of breaking news out of Washington. Later this hour, Massey Rich from the Center for Responsive Politics will be with us. As you've heard, Barack Obama has opted out of the public financing system. What does it mean for campaign finance reform? And with 1.5 million donors, has he achieved the same idea of broad-based financing is not captive to the very rich or corporate interests? Well, we'll explore that later this hour. Also on today's program, Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. The military asking for another $100 billion to repair the damaged gear, materiel, that is the additional cost of the occupation of Iraq. And we'll also talk about CBS News' Lara Logan's complaints about how tough it is to get coverage of Iraq on American television these days. Despite her controversial comments on The Daily Show and elsewhere last week, CBS has announced a big promotion for Lara Logan. Also on today's program, Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, will talk about Charlie Black's comment to Fortune magazine that if there's a terrorist attack, it's good for McCain. Ouch, Charlie. Of course, now it's been shown that John McCain has made similar remarks on the campaign trail. So maybe lobbyist Charlie Black will remain on the Straight Talk Express. If you want to call in, you're welcome to join the program. 888-5-PETER-B is my number, 888-573-8372. Faz Shakir is the Director of Research at the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Think Progress blog and the Daily Progress Report that you can get in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. Hi, Faz.
Hey, Peter B., how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm 1-for-3 with the Supreme Court in the last couple of days. And we've got John Yoo and David Addington testifying, sort of, on Capitol Hill. Let's start with the torture team. I haven't had a chance to review any of the testimony from you and Addington. What do they have to say, and what kind of questions were they dodging today, Faz?
Yeah, that's exactly it. They were dodging a great deal of questions. One of the most interesting moments was when John Conyers started off the hearing by asking John Yoo whether the president could bury somebody alive and whether that would be torture or not. And Yoo couldn't answer the question. And so I think that set the tone for the whole hearing, which was, here are two men who have very radical views as to what constitutes torture and aren't willing to talk candidly about those views, and so continued for the next couple of hours as they went round and round trying to get answers, and at one point a kind of comedic exchange in which William Delahunt, congressman from Massachusetts, asked David Addington you know, about specific torture techniques that he thought constituted torture, and Addington responded, well, I can't tell you that because we're on C-SPAN and the terrorists are watching.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they have cable in the caves there in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Well, that would be funny if it weren't tragic that they will use any excuse to obfuscate and try to defend the actions that they took. Now, Faz, one of the things I'm curious about, we've interviewed Philippe Sands, who wrote the book Torture Team. And what he demonstrated in the book was that Jim Haynes, who was the top legal officer in the Pentagon advising Donald Rumsfeld, bypassed many people who should have been consulted as the torture policy was being developed. And that Haynes and Rumsfeld had access to the memos from John Yoo and Jay Bybee, which had redefined torture and basically said the president can order almost anything short of death or organ failure. And I'm curious if the testimony today shed any light on these two different stovepipes that the Justice Department was advising the White House, and that Rumsfeld could see that, but that the generals who should have been part of that process were left out.
Well, they had a problem in trying to get answers. First of all, backtracking a little bit, Mr. Sands has been awesome in what he has written and the torture team. And McClatchy also had a couple of good articles, one of which I can recall recently, in which they explained that David Addington, John Yoo, Mr. Haynes, and the Pentagon, Alberto Gonzalez, constituted what they described as the War Council. That's what Addington and company referred to themselves as, the War Council. And how the War Council operated was outside the chain of command, which is they kind of drafted memos, got them to the key decision makers, and it was all done without informing everybody else within either the Department of Justice or the Department of Defense. That's how they operated. That's why they had such a close click. In trying to get answers to those questions and how that operated, today Congress had some problems from John Yoo. John Yoo asserted a attorney-client privilege and said, I can't talk about specific individuals with whom I had conversations with because the Department of Justice won't let me. And because he was the key drafter of a lot of these documents, that was a critical question to ask, is who was assisting you in drafting these documents? And he wouldn't answer that question. And as for Addington, he just said, well, you know, I only saw the final drafts of these memos. As they got to the end, you know, then I would take a look and I'd sign off. So we didn't get very many answers.
Yeah. I mean, one of the other elements was that Colin Powell and his underlings at the State Department were working on a plan for how to deal with these detainees in the so-called War on Terror when they heard news announcements about Guantanamo and about the some of the decisions that are now public that they learned about through the back channels.
Yeah, that was, I think his name was John Bellinger. He was the counsel at the State Department who was one of the naive folks in the administration who believed that they should uphold the Geneva Conventions and accord habeas and due process rights to prisoners. And of course, he was sidelined and sidetracked and pushed out of the way. And that's why Addington and you and all these other guys constituted the small closed clique that they called the War Council, which was to go around people like that who might actually want to follow the law.
One of the other elements of Philippe Sand's book, Faz, is about the role that lawyers played, including you and Bybee, and that they may have violated their oaths by giving tainted advice to their clients and not giving them the downside, not talking about war crimes, not talking about the true implications of departing from the Geneva Conventions.
And that's something that continues to dog John Yoo as a professor at the University of Berkeley. A lot of his fellow colleagues there have been raising issues about his tenureship there and whether he should still be allowed to teach, and they want him out because of that very issue. Is that he? Their argument is that he let down his responsibility as a lawyer to interpret the law put before decision makers his honest and most reasonable interpretations of the law, and instead he actually made stuff up and clearly broke ground in areas where there had been no interpretations ever made, and so John, he was making things up as he went along.
Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. Can we talk about three Supreme Court cases in 3 minutes?
Yeah, the court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
Yes, it's the final few days of the case clearance over there at the Supreme Court. And, Faz, they're publishing these decisions very quickly. The one that offered me some hope was the decision of 5-4 that invalidated the child rape law in Louisiana. And I guess I need to offer the caveat that I do not support child rape, but I agree with the majority and Justice Kennedy, who wrote for the majority, that fundamentally, even though I oppose the death penalty, I cannot see it being applied for something that does not cause a death. And the Supreme Court offered what seems to be a pretty clear, bright line about that, Faz.
Yeah, that they did, and I think it was a victory for many death penalty advocates who are arguing for a fairer, more just system that treats people equally and as you said, doesn't apply the most heinous punishment for crimes that don't merit it. And I have some mixed feelings as to whether child rapists continue to do activities, particularly if they're released and continue to do it. But I've always felt that that's a mental deficiency and not one that requires execution. But, I don't know whether the criminal justice system has evolved to the point where we understand mental deficiencies and how to deal with them.
Right. Yeah, it is a difficult area, but fundamentally, as an opponent of the death penalty, I'm pleased that the court made a clear distinction that we can't just keep passing laws that impose the death penalty because it feels good or it responds to people's sense of fear.
But sadly, Peter, I should note that we're in political season, and therefore Senator Obama and Senator McCain both agreed that the decision was wrong.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about Obama, but...
Yeah, he did, too. I mean, it was the Dukakis moment. You know, a lot of people were afraid that he was going to walk down that Dukakis line. Remember that famous question of, mm-hmm. if your wife was raped, would you want the death penalty for that rapist? And he said, well, no, I want to, I still wouldn't do it in that case. And he ended up looking weak and was tagged as weak for the rest of that campaign. And so I think the Obama campaign was cautious about going down that road.
Yeah. All right, one of the other decisions cut the damage award in the Exxon Valdez case down to pennies on the dollar. And they adopted a plan here that says punitive damages essentially should be one-to-one to the other assessed damages. And I think that this is another pro-corporate ruling by a court that is more and more captive to corporate America.
Yeah, I agree with you. And sadly, it was Justice Souter who wrote that opinion. And, they went for a one-to-one ratio that is punitive and regular damages, and so that means that Exxon ends up coming out the big winner in this case, but and it's a huge win for corporate America in general that they no longer have to fear being hit with substantial punishments for doing things that they know are wrong.
Yeah. Well, we need to take our break, and you got 4 minutes to think about this, Faz. I got an email from the Second Amendment Sisters that say that you're going to feel much safer in Washington, D.C. now that the handgun ban has been overturned by the Supreme Court. You think about that, and I'll ask you to respond after the break. Faz Shakir with me from the Center for American Progress. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Experience the magic of Scotland and Ireland without ever leaving Monterey County. The 41st Annual Monterey Scottish Games and Celtic Festival will be held on Saturday and Sunday, July 5th and 6th, at the beautiful Toro Park on Highway 68 in Salinas. The Scottish Festival offers fun activities for the whole family, including great athletic events, like the famous caber toss. You'll enjoy Scottish and Irish entertainers, great crafts, tasty British food and sheepdog demonstrations. Enjoy the colourful mass pipe bands and Highland dancers, and don't miss the Saturday evening barbecue. Special Sunday entertainment with pipers and dancers. Put on your kilts, grab your bagpipes, or just come on down to the 41st Annual Monterey Scottish Games and Celtic Festival. Information and advance tickets are available at montereyscottgames.com or call 831-333-9423.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grocery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
Professor David Ray Griffin, author of A New Pearl Harbor, will disclose the truth behind September 11th, Saturday, June 28th at 7 p.m., Church of Religious Science, corner of Franklin and Pacific in Monterey. For information, call 375-2016.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by the Scalia Supreme Court, your right to bear arms, and the Saturday Night Gun Mart.
I like the pump.
I like the spray.
The pump.
The spray.
The pump.
The spray.
Hey, hero, you got the right to own them both. So here it is, at the Saturday Night Gun Mart. A double-barreled, over-and-under pump spray, fully automatic, semi-automatic. It's a famous brand name. I can't mention it. I can't read it. You think it's from Czechoslovakia. Just want to wound him in the hand? We got a full assortment of handguns. Easy credit, never a hold up at the cashiers at Saturday Night Gun Mart, where you are the target.
Pat Shakir, do you think the Supreme Court justices knew that interpretation, that a handgun is what you use to shoot somebody in the hand?
I mean, I remember the Charlton Heston line. What was it? That
you got to pry it from my cold, dead
cold
fingers.
Cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
Cold, dead hands. I mean, his cold, dead hands are pretty happy today because this is a huge victory for the NRA and all the other, I don't know how you'd describe them, but very vigorous pro-gun people.
The Second Amendment sisters, whoever they are, they send me emails. Well, the slight silver lining here is, though, that Scalia wrote that the Second Amendment does protect an individual's right, but it's not unlimited. It is not a right to keep and carry any weapon whatsoever in any manner whatsoever and for whatever purpose. Now, you can drive a howitzer through that exclusion.
Yeah, I mean, it was good rhetoric. I think, you know, the really pleasant surprise that came out of this decision is that it was a 5-4 decision. And because it was 5-4, I think majority had to temper the lengths at which it was going to go to win the fifth justice, whoever that may have been. But, you know, so I think that the decision ended up being more limited, and that's something the Brady campaign and other gun control advocates are heralding today, is that this decision shouldn't mean the overturning of all kinds of other more moderate gun control laws.
So you're going to feel safer in the District of Columbia, Fass?
Yeah, I'm not one who owns a gun or has shot a gun. I've gone to a shooting range a couple times to try it out, but it's not something that makes me very comfortable. And so I won't be owning a gun anytime soon, and the presence of guns is not something that I'm comfortable being around. So I'll probably feel a little more scared, quite honestly, but hopefully this doesn't. I was reading a ruling today, the impact of the ruling, and apparently you have to be a registered gun seller to sell a gun, so it's going to take some time before guns start flowing into the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fast, just about 2 minutes remaining. Your lead story in the progress report today is about the human resources practices of the Bush administration. You refer to it as the Loyal Bushies Hiring Guide. And we're learning more about the political litmus tests that were applied to people who wanted to work at the Department of Justice.
You know, as I was thinking about this the other night, I said, you know, didn't Richard Nixon have what he called an enemies list?
Yes, he did.
And isn't this the modern-day version of it? I mean, it's not as punitive. It's not as harsh. They're not going after you. But certainly this list of people who the Department of Justice just won't consider hiring and will reject your application just straight up at first glance, doesn't that just constitute our enemies?
Membership in liberal organizations like the American Constitutional Society, Greenpeace, or the Poverty and Race Research Action Council caused a negative mark on the applicant's file.
Yeah, they hired something like 13 out of 13 from the Federalist Society, and only 1 out of 12 from, something like that, 1 out of 12 from the American Constitution Society, ACS, which is a liberal organization. And so it's pretty, a lot of this occurred after Alberto Gonzalez became Attorney General and Monica Goodling, who was in charge of the hiring, and who has acknowledged that she may have violated laws in her hiring practices. She admitted that under oath to Congress. You know, this is all going on under their watch.
And the new Attorney General, Judge Mukasey, says he's fixed all this.
Yeah, so we're told, and, you know, we haven't had a Department of Justice inquiry, Inspector General inquiry into his practices, but we hope it's been fixed, and if not, it will certainly hopefully be fixed in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Fans, thank you very much. As always, I want to recommend that people log on to progressreport.org, and you can get a copy of the Daily Progress Report delivered to your email. Thank you, Fans. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks as always, Peter.
My pleasure. We're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to talk about Obama opting out of the public campaign finance system. Is that good or bad? Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. You can get a podcast of this, any other portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored by the National Pest Management Association. This is Dave Ross in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Most of the news from Afghanistan has been bad lately, but there is one unequivocal success. A bumper crop of opium poppies. In fact, it's the largest crop in the world. More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. Who do you depend on to help to protect your family's health and property? Well, doctors, of course, firefighters, police officers. But how about pest professionals? They're your best defense against household pests like bedbugs and mice and termites. Pests like these contribute to asthma, to serious injury, and to property damage. To learn all about household pest threats and to locate a qualified pest professional near you to help protect your family, visit pestworld.org.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
In the months before 9/11, the United Nations was able to report that opium production in Afghanistan had been wiped out. Not by outside forces, but by the religious conservatives in the Taliban, who simply jailed any farmer caught growing poppies. It was against their religious principles. But after we kicked them out, the Taliban, showing a remarkable ability to adapt, revised their religious principles. The opium trade turned out to be ethical after all. And today, 93% of the world's opium comes from Afghanistan, earning the Taliban $100 million just last year.
That money turns into weapons used against us.
Eric Sharapita is one of the private contractors hired under a billion-dollar program to cut down the Afghan poppy fields.
Sometimes you meet with the locals, and they'd be, you know, kind of furious. You know, you're taking money and food out of their mouths.
And that's the problem. CBS chief investigative correspondent Armin Katayan reports that the program has backfired as angry farmers drift back toward the Taliban. Katayan had arranged to talk with Ambassador Thomas Schweik, the State Department's anti-poppy czar, but at the last minute, he was told that no one, quote, felt comfortable talking about the subject, and we mustn't have uncomfortable public officials. But Noreen McDonald is happy to talk. She's actually lived among the southern Afghans.
I've talked to elderly people who, you know, said they might as well have just run over me with a tractor because how am I going to feed my family?
She has a better idea. Contract with the farmers to grow the poppies legally for morphine production and cut the Taliban out of the loop. But the State Department wouldn't hear of it. They've apparently resolved to fight the war on drugs their way, even if it undermines the war on terror. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. The campaign finance system in this country is an organized, legalized form of influence peddling. Sometimes it descends to the level of bribery, too. And about a week ago, Barack Obama made news by opting out of the federal funding of his presidential campaign would have supplied about $84 million. And John McCain, depending on which day it is and who you talk to, says that he is going to accept the federal funding. To get more on this and other campaign finance stories, we go to Massey Rich, Communications Director at the Center for Responsive Politics in Washington. Their website is opensecrets.org, and there's a lot of great information there. Massey, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Before we dive into the Obama and presidential campaign funding, I just was looking at your website, and we were catching up in the preceding segment on some of the recent Supreme Court decisions announced this week. And there's one here that invalidates the so-called Millionaires Amendment of the McCain-Feingold Law. And this is a critical issue because an attempt was made to try to balance the advantage that self-funded candidates have over those who don't have a personal fortune.
Right. And, this is an opinion that came down from the court today, which overturned what we call the Millionaires Amendment. It's a provision of federal campaign finance law that, as you say, evens the playing field or attempts to it to do so. It says if you're running for Congress and your opponent puts a lot of his own money into his campaign, then you can raise more money than you normally would be. The limits on campaign contributions go up, so you can collect more money from people to try and offset the advantage that the rich candidate has. The court said it's not Congress's job. Congress passed this law. It's not their job to level the playing field in elections. Candidates have all sorts of advantages. Some are wealthier than others. Some are celebrities. Some have well-known family names. It's not Congress's job to decide how level the playing field is. It's up to voters to make these decisions.
And this was written by Justice Samuel Alito.
Right, a 5-4 decision on this, and people are reading it to look for clues as to how the court feels about campaign finance issues. There have been a couple of cases since Justice Roberts and Alito joined the court, Chief Justice Roberts and Alito, and they have, in both cases, in two particular cases, scaled back some of the laws that were provisions of a campaign finance law that we commonly call McCain-Feingold. Of course, it's got John McCain's name on it as one of the co-sponsors, and Russ Feingold, for a senator from Wisconsin. It's formally known as the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act of 2002. The court has yet to really strike at the heart of the law, which cut out soft money. These were the large, unlimited donations that individuals, corporations, labor unions could make to national parties. That's still prohibited, but they've been chipping away at little bits here and there, such as the Millionaires Amendment. But so far, the law itself and its original intents are still on the books and intact.
Now, when Alito and Roberts were confirmed, there was a lot of discussion about precedents and the legal concept stare decisis. Is this ruling overturning the Millionaires Amendment consistent with the Buckley versus Valeo decision, which was the original Supreme Court decision, which equated campaign money with free speech?
Essentially, it hasn't done anything significant to overturn that or compromise it in any way. The justices did not go so far as to say you can't have any limits on campaign contributions. That would be a significant change legally. But they did say that this provision of the law that really hasn't affected that many races is unconstitutional. And many people considered this Millionaires Amendment to actually be an incumbent protection amendment. It was passed by Congress sort of at the tail end of the debate over McCain-Feingold as a way to make incumbents feel a bit better about a law that they thought was going to handicap them, and that what it did was allow incumbents to have a better shot against the people, really the only people who can beat them, and that's wealthy individuals. You have to unseat a member of the House of Representatives these days, you probably need to raise at least $1.2 million, $1.3 million to have any chance, and Senate races, depending on the size of your state, and there in California, they're probably the most expensive around.
Yeah.
Senate races get into the tens of millions of dollars, and incumbents don't usually have a problem raising the money. the challengers who don't have the special interest seeking access to them because they don't have anything to give them have a much harder time raising that money.
And Massey Rich, with this part being invalidated, what then are the rules left for congressional races? Are there limits on how much they can raise beyond the $2,300 per person?
Well, that's the limit for an individual. That's how much you could contribute to a member of Congress for the primary, $2,300, and then an additional $2,300 for the general election. Same for a presidential candidate. But that's it. Those limits are intact. You can still give money to political parties in limited amounts and that kind of thing. But the court didn't touch those limits. They were just looking at these higher limits that took a kicked in. If your opponent put in at least $350,000 of his own money in a House race and in a Senate race, it's a complicated formula based on the population of a state, but several hundred thousand dollars there, too.
Mm-hmm. Massey Rich with us from the Center for Responsive Politics in Washington. 888-5-PETER-B if you have a question or comment, 888-573-8372. Now, Massey, to the decision by the Obama campaign to opt out of the federal system. And to be fair, I'll just put aside for your discussion whether Obama made a pledge that was binding or not. I don't consider that central to the discussion. But I would like to ask what you think in terms of the bigger picture. Do you agree with Obama's statements that he is achieving the spirit of campaign finance reform because he's not taking soft money, not taking lobbyist money, I think he's not taking PAC money, and so he is in general limited to the $2,300 in the primary, $2,300 in the general election, limits on individual contributions. Yet bundling continues to occur, and we saw that he just had a Hollywood soiree where some people paid $28,000. Now, that couldn't have gone to his campaign. It must have gone to the Democratic National Committee.
Right. The candidates, both Obama and McCain right now, are hosting what we call joint fundraisers, where they team up with the national party or state parties and might collect a little bit of money for their own campaign, but they're also raising money for the party committees that can help them out in the election. So that's how you get to those higher amounts, well above the $2,300.
Mm-hmm.
Obama has been more successful with small donors than any candidate ever has been. He claims 1.5 million donors, and 90%+ of them giving under the $200 level. And so that's really remarkable. And so his donor base is more reflective than any candidate's ever has been of the broader electorate. But 1.5 million people out of our nation of 300 million is still 0.5% of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not as many people as pay into the public financing system whose money he's refusing.
And how many
about
people?
9 to 10% of Americans,
okay,
check that box on their tax return,
mm-hmm,
that says give $3 of my tax money to the presidential campaign. Still not a lot of people. I think that's one indication that the system there has some problems, but it's far more than Obama's donor base.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with his assessment that the public system is broken?
I think there are two indications that it needs to be repaired. One is, as I said, when less than 10% of Americans think it's worth their $3 even to support it.
Well, and it's not
three, public education problem too.
It's not even $3 out of my pocket. I'm designated $3 of my tax payment.
It just takes $3 away from something else the government would spend money on. I think that's a misunderstanding that people have. They think it's going to add to their bill, but they may also just not agree with the idea that the government should subsidize politicians, or they may not like the idea that their money will go potentially to a candidate they would never in a million years vote for. So that's one indication that there needs to be some repair. And another is that in the primary system, at least, where you have a matching system set up, the spending limits that come with the money are just not reasonable in this day and age. You can always spend a couple $100,000 in Iowa, for example. It's based on the population of the state. It's not based on the political significance of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other indication is that we have, for the first time since the system was put in place for the 76th presidential election, a major party candidate who says, I can't run a general election campaign like I need to on $84 million or $1.2 million a day from the convention on to November. That's a first, and that's an indication that there needs to be some sort of repair. $1.2 million, Peter, is a lot of money, of course. But when you have to run a national campaign, buying advertising, traveling, paying for office space and staff, it gets spent pretty quickly. When you consider that some of our major corporations in this country spend $9 and $10 million a day to advertise things like cars and trucks and cell phone service and soap, maybe $1.2 million for a presidential candidate to sell his message is really not that much money.
Well, and to me, the way to deal with that is to restructure the regulation of radio and television to reduce those costs. I think that broadcasters should be required to provide time to candidates, including commercial time, and that should be part of their license, their responsibility, in exchange for being able to charge all the other advertisers for commercial time on their stations or networks. And that would take significant re-regulation through the Congress. I don't want to make it seem that's a real simple issue. But that would be a way that would reduce the true cost of campaigns. And we know that the broadcasters, if you ever take a look at their reports to shareholders, they'll tell you how they're licking their chops. That 2008 is a presidential campaign year, and the big networks hope to pick up hundreds of millions of dollars in excess revenue.
Sure. The broadcasters bank on this money every 2 and 4 years, and so as a result, you don't hear a lot of talk on commercial TV and radio about where the money actually gets spent. In the presidential election so far, and it's still fairly early, the candidates aren't doing a whole lot of advertising, 30% of their money, or $263 million, has already gone toward media of some sort, not just broadcast, but Internet and other forms of media.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cut out that slice, it would reduce the cost of campaigning significantly, but they still have to hire people, they still have to have office space, print up signs, do polling, do all the other things that a modern campaign requires.
Yeah. So one of the things that one hopes, and I try not to project too much onto Barack Obama, but is that he might be the kind of guy who would opt out of the system now, and if he gets elected, make it a priority to fix it for the future and to try to rebalance things in a way that would level the playing field. And of course, once somebody gets elected, you never know exactly how much the power corrupts. And they say, well, that's a nice idea, but I want to win again in 4 years.
Yeah, it's true that candidates who talk a big game about reform going in often don't act on that once they're reliant on the interest groups that put money in. But I think voters have some really good choices in November on this count. Both candidates, Obama and McCain, and then there are other candidates running for third parties and independently that talk about these issues too a lot. Unfortunately, they don't have the money to get heard, but they talk about them. The two major party candidates have made reform and reducing the influence of money on politics and changing the ethical practices of Washington a priority and a discussion point in the primary campaign with their opponents, and they will continue to talk about this going into the general election. Obama does not accept contributions from federally registered lobbyists or from political action committees. John McCain has his name on the most significant campaign finance reform legislation since Watergate. So they both have some credentials. They've both walked the walk in many respects, but ultimately they both do have to raise hundreds of millions of dollars. Even though John McCain is taking public financing for the general election, he can raise private money right up until he accepts that nomination this summer at the convention in Minneapolis-St. Paul. And if he you know, we know that he's going to be scrambling for as much as he can raise because he knows now that he's going to be up against an opponent who's raising private money and may collect $200, $300 million compared to his $84 million from taxpayers.
Massey Rich is with us, Communications Director at the Center for Responsive Politics. Their website, opensecrets.org. You got a question or a comment? Bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A shout out to our weekend listeners on KPOJ 620 in Portland and AM 1090 KBTK in Seattle. You can communicate with me by email. It's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. We continue with Massey Rich, Communications Director at the Center for Responsive Politics in Washington. And we're talking about Obama's opting out. We pretty well covered that. Massey, I wanted to ask you next about John McCain's current status, because now we actually have a potentially functioning Federal Election Commission. They finally rounded out the membership there so it can function. And there are some real difficult issues here about whether McCain has operated within the rules of the law that he wrote.
Right. We're we're going back to the primary season, and we're also sort of getting into legal weeds on this, so bear with us in this discussion. John McCain, when his bank account was looking pretty sorry, made the motions that he was going to take matching funds from the government treasury for the primary election. He went through the requirements to qualify for that, that he was certified by the FEC. And then his political fortunes changed, and he started winning primaries, and it became clear he was going to become the nominee, and so thus money started rolling in. The public financing, the matching funds, came with spending limits that, as I mentioned in our last segment, are really not reasonable for this day and age of politicking. And so McCain figured, well, now that I am going to be the nominee, or it looks like I will be, I'm going to stick with private money. I don't need the public financing. And so he informed the FEC he was not going to need their money. He had not received any money, not a dime, from the public treasury at that point. But the FEC sent him a letter saying, not so fast. We decide whether you get to pull out of the system after you've gone this far, not you. He came back and said, no, you don't. This was never an issue. The FEC said, well, we've got some concerns that you got some campaign loans to get you through your tough period and that you might have used public financing as collateral. That's illegal. You know, we want to know more. They went back and forth. Then the Democrats saw this as an opportunity to go after McCain and undercut his reformer credentials, and they filed a complaint with the FEC. As you mentioned, the FEC did not have a quorum at the time. They only had two of their six members. They couldn't really do anything official. And so about 3 or 4 months passed, and by that point the Democratic National Committee was then permitted to file a lawsuit challenging this decision, or at least suing the FEC, saying they shouldn't let John McCain out of this matching fund system. And so that's where we are. There's a lawsuit in federal court that the Democratic National Committee has filed saying that John McCain illegally used public financing as collateral to get loans. He shouldn't have done that, and they shouldn't have let him out of the system. Therefore, he continued through the primary spending money illegally beyond the limits. We'll see. I have a feeling this is something that will not get resolved before Election Day, as many election law cases do not.
Yeah.
And this will be more of just a talking point and an accusation that the Democrats will continue to lodge against McCain, in part to defend themselves against their own candidate refusing public financing for the general election.
And what do you make of these new members of the FEC?
Well, they now have the full six that they need, which means they can get back to doing things very slowly. The FEC, even on its best days, is a pretty slow mover. Let's go back to 2004. You remember the Swift Boat Veterans, the outside issue group that ran ads against John Kerry. Well, the FEC determined that what they did was illegal. They didn't determine it, though, before the election. They didn't even determine it in 2004. They made the decision two or 2.5 years after the election was already over, which might help prevent this thing from happening in 2008, but it certainly didn't do much for John Kerry in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'll take a while for these new commissioners to get up to speed. They're veterans of campaign finance law, though. In fact, the last time I went to an FEC meeting, I think one of them was there representing the Republican Party. So they're, it's a bit of an incestuous group, election lawyers. There really aren't that many of them in the country, not many people who understand this thing and the way that we run our elections. And so they've elevated a few people from the ranks to now regulate for a few years our elections.
And we were concerned about one nominee who didn't make it, Hans von Spakovsky. Are any of these new Republican appointees operating in his vein?
There hasn't been the same concern from the Democrats, at least, about these nominees as there was about von Spakovsky. That's where this all started. This was a guy who had worked in the Justice Department before being appointed by the president to the FEC. He made some controversial decisions at Justice, and the Democrats didn't want him to continue regulating elections. And so that was where the impasse started. The Republicans retaliated by saying, well, we're not going to vote on your nominees either. And so we were held up for half a year in the most expensive U.S. election ever without a referee with any teeth to enforce the rules. So now it's a good thing that we've got the referee we need. But they do have a fairly large stack of things on their desks to take up when they have their first meeting.
Yeah. Well, Massey Rich, thank you very much for enlightening us on these issues today.
It was my pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
Massey Rich from the Center for Responsive Politics. Again, their website is opensecrets.org. We'll take a break and return next hour with Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. We're going to talk about the torture testimony on Capitol Hill today and CBS correspondent Lara Logan's complaints about getting coverage of Iraq on American television. That and more coming up next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. With Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A landmark Supreme Court ruling.
The Second Amendment defined as giving individuals gun rights.
It's a great moment in American history.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
Oil jumps and the stock market plunges.
I would say it's, unfortunately, a perfect storm of bad news today.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Supreme Court, ruling on a case from Washington, D.C., ruled today that ordinary Americans, not just a well-regulated militia, are entitled to keep guns for self-defense. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
After more than 200 years of contentious debate, the Supreme Court finally defines the Second Amendment as giving individuals the right to keep and bear arms and use them for self-defense.
Now I'm able to defend myself in my own home.
Dick Heller's challenge to D.C.'s handgun ban led to this historic moment. The court struck down that ban, but adds this right is not unlimited. Dennis Hennigan of the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence.
A wide range of gun restrictions would not be constitutionally suspect.
Armed with this new rights declaration, the National Rifle Association's Wayne LaPierre promises lawsuits within days, challenging restrictions in Chicago and some suburbs and San Francisco.
If the court says individual right, individuals have to be able to get to it.
On New York streets, this man predicts more gun violence.
Guns are a disaster.
This man, less.
I think the city is somewhere where everyone should carry a gun.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
John McCain calls the 5-4 ruling a victory for Second Amendment freedom. Barack Obama, who maintains that local governments should be able to regulate guns, says the decision will provide much-needed guidance. Now this.
All right. 35.5 inches wide for the new refrigerator.
And then if you could do me a favor and measure the back splash over here.
If we can get everything done on the first project, then we can move on to the second one and have time to enjoy the 3-day weekend.
It's time to blast through July 4th weekend. Right now at the Home Depot and Expo Design Centers, get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through July 9th in U.S. only. See store for details.
In spring, love is in the air. And so are a lot of other things, like pollen, dust, and that old romance killer, ragweed. So if you want to be able to see the love light in her eyes or his eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes so that nothing comes between you and amore.
Mm.
Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
The closing bell stopped the bleeding. When trading ended at the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow was 358 points lower at 11,453. The Nasdaq had lost nearly 80 points, closing at 2321. Art Hogan is chief market analyst at Jefferies & Company.
Today's a day that we got bad news on a host of household names: General Motors, Citibank, Oracle, Research in Motion, and we have very expensive oil. So we've got a combination of some very negative corporate news and expensive oil that's driving the market down precipitously.
The price of crude oil rose more than $5 to settle just under $140 bucks a barrel. The president of OPEC says he thinks oil could hit between $150 and $170 this summer. Look for gasoline prices to rise again. James Cordier is head trader at OptionSellers.com.
The national average, which is around 410, should probably be adding about 10 cents here in the coming several days. And, of course, for the big 4th of July weekend, consumers can expect to pay more than they ever have.
CBS News correspondent Priya David reports a Canadian bank economist, Jeff Rubin, predicts it will only get worse.
His research has led him to make this prediction that in 2 years we're going to see gas at $7 a gallon.
Rubin estimates there will be 10 million fewer vehicles on the road as people give up their cars. The House of Representatives has taken note of this trend.
With Americans who live near big cities flocking to public transit, turning to buses, subways, and commuter trains because of the high price of gasoline, the House voted overwhelmingly to provide $1.7 billion to public transit systems to help them cope with the added load and keep their fares down. Congress helps pay to build mass transit systems around the country. This is the first time they voted to help pay their operating costs.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. In Butte County, California, firefighters are coordinating the battle against 27 wildfires that threaten 1,000 homes. They're among the hundreds of fires sparked by lightning. Scenic Big Sur is threatened by a huge blaze in the Los Padres National Forest. It's already burned 37 square miles. Federal health officials now say salmonella-tainted tomatoes have made more than 750 people sick. They've yet to pinpoint the source. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Summer's here. It's family vacation time. So before you hit the road, make sure your car is ready at the Sears Summer Travel Sale. Right now at the Sears Auto Center, all tires are on sale. Plus, buy three Goodyear Weather Handler LS, Eagle GTHR, or Wrangler SRA tires and get the fourth free. Get your car serviced 7 days a week, including nights, and shop while you wait. So come into the Sears Auto Center now and get ready to live like it's summer. Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 627-08-7508.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we talk military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. He's with us this entire hour, and your calls are welcome.
Like a gift from the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. She'd fire in her soul, it was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. Every soul in the room gave me time.
Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott Dick served in the Marine Corps and then the Army, retired there from the Army at the rank of Major, and he's now a major radio talk show host. He follows me every evening on our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for the plug.
Oh, you're welcome. How's it going today?
It's going great. The weather here is smoky.
Yeah, smoky everywhere. It's just, I talked about it earlier, it's mildly apocalyptic.
Well, is it because of San Francisco's gay pride parade? Is that it?
Well, that's what the Phelps would say.
Well, of course. But what about those poor Midwesterners? There's some kind of sin going on there, too.
Well,
massive amounts of sin in Iowa and Illinois and Mississippi and Missouri.
For those biblical floods to be occurring in retaliation?
For something, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's have a study group look at that.
Okay.
Well, Scott, let's start off with the testimony on Capitol Hill today. John Yoo, who is a law professor at UC Berkeley now and was a legal counsel in the Justice Department, who wrote some of these memos allowing torture by redefining it. And as we've discussed before, he did so in a way that kind of overlooked a lot of real obvious things like the Geneva Convention and some of the other statutory requirements of U.S. law. I didn't get a chance to watch the testimony, so I've heard some secondhand reports, but it sounds like they're up there playing Alberto Gonzalez with I Don't Remember, I Can't Recall.
Well, Peter, this is a classic case of when you have when you're anonymous and you think you're free from any kind of scrutiny, you can write and say whatever you want. When the bright light of transparency is shown on him, he retreats like a cockroach into the cracks of legal opinion. And it's typical. Addington did the same thing in front of his committee hearing, and Yoo's doing the same thing, and I find that repugnant that he doesn't have the guts, the backbone, to stand up there and say, yeah, the Geneva Convention is quaint because we're in a new century, a new conflict, something that we've never faced before, something the Geneva Convention was not designed to cover. And yet he stands up, he sits down at the committee hearing and waffles and weasels. He's another one of those legal weasels, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have one exchange up at thinkprogress.org where Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee asked him what branch of the government the vice president's office is in. And this came up earlier as a weird assertion from them that they're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act and other requirements because they're not actually a part of the administration. And I'm just wondering if they're using Enron concepts here, you know, that this is some sort of an offshore entity.
Well, you know, Cheney believes in offshoring public institutions. For example, Halliburton is now not in the United States anymore, not based in the United States. So why not the vice presidency? Next, it will be his idea to contract it out to the next, you know, to the highest bidder. Or maybe they'll give it to somebody that has a no-bid contract. It's ridiculous, and I can't believe that anybody with a brain is actually considering what the vice president is saying. He is selectively part of the executive branch when he wants to claim executive immunity, and the other part, he's selectively part of the legislative branch when he wants to not be part of the executive, and he selects no branch, no part. Then why can't we just fire him?
Well, that's a wonderful idea.
I mean, if he's not a part of the government branch, what is he then? He was elected, but to what? To be the vice president? To do what? I mean,
well,
it's ridiculous.
And constitutionally, the only job of the vice president is to serve as the president of the Senate. And so they at one point tried to make the case, well, that's his real job description. He's president of the Senate, so he's part of the legislative branch.
Well, it's ridiculous, and they should just, I think it should be just censored for that stupidity alone. I mean, talk about the way these guys slice and dice the Constitution, and then they can't wait to invoke the Constitution when it suits their needs, and yet if they want to use misstatements, out-and-out lies, innuendo, et cetera, they'll do that, whatever it takes to get their idea of a job done. It's, you know, it's whatever ends, it does justify the means.
Well, what do you think? For Cheney and Addington, 6 months to 60 years at Guantanamo?
Yeah, that would be fitting, but I think just some time spent at The Hague, and there's no guarantee that they couldn't face some time at The Hague, depending
right.
on who and where they travel in the future.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But if they do go to Gitmo, I want to pick the music that gets played at painfully loud levels.
I think it should be I'm Proud to Be an American 24/7.
Okay, that's not a bad idea. Scott Dix with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Scott, one of the things that I'm concerned about is that the Democrats in Congress are getting some headlines out of torture, out of Scott McClellan's assertions about the Valerie Wilson case, but they're really not going for the jugular. They're not playing for keeps. They appear to be settling for 1 and 2 day news stories, and then they pat themselves on the back and go and pass the FISA law and more money for the war. And it's really frustrating to me, because I think that these are not just gotcha issues. It's not, you know, my desire is not just to see these individuals embarrassed because they have to defend and dissemble under oath. What I want is true accountability. And I don't see the Democrats driving for that.
I don't see them doing anything except the smoke and mirrors. And a couple of exceptional cases, Dennis Kucinich being one of them, and Feingold and one or two more, the democratically led Congress has been a bust. I mean, I'm vastly, deeply disappointed in them, and they have no, what's the right word? They have no sticks, and the carrots don't work, because with conservative Republicans, they want what they want. And Kit Bond was right. He said the Democrats would cave, and that's precisely exactly what they did. I'm past the time, Peter, when we have to beg wealthy Dinos to run because we want them in Congress. A Republican would be better. At least we know where they're coming from versus a Dino.
I want to agree with you there. In most cases, I do. The problem is that the Republicans do maintain a kind of party discipline, and they vote in lockstep. And as we saw in the FISA bill, there was only one Republican who broke ranks. And on the war funding bill, I think, less than five Republicans broke ranks. And even when you get these Dinos and Blue Dogs, whatever you want to call the recalcitrant Democrats, at least they will vote with their leadership some of the time and can be brought along a little more of the time.
Yeah, but Peter, that's only on safe issues. Well, who's not going to vote for, you know, something that sends another $100 billion to the troops? Who's not going to vote for a law that makes child pornography a felony? Who's not going to vote for a law that gives sanctions against Iran or North Korea? I mean, that's all safe. That means nothing. That's not political leadership. That's just the lemmingship. That's, you know, more lemmings. And we need some guts in Congress. We need, you know, the Hacketts and the rest of those who ran. And they had to run against not only the local Republican, they had to run against the Democratic National Committee. It's disgusting.
Yeah. It is a problem. I certainly agree. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Scott, one of the things that I know you wanted to talk about today, I have lifted my embargo or moratorium on discussion of Tim Russert, and he's been buried for a week or more now. And I think that it's important to allow some comments about this, because the way the media lionized this man, canonized him, is something I'm pretty uncomfortable with. And you made a point to me when we were talking earlier today that while the NBC networks were giving us almost wall-to-wall coverage of the mourning for him, his wake at a funeral home, and they didn't actually broadcast the funeral, but they were live from outside of the church. And it certainly was excessive, and you wanted to compare it to lack of coverage of something else.
Well, the young man who received the Medal of Honor, Peter, you know, it's not just something I tuned in all week, and there was something about Tim Russert. And even on the Fox Network, there was something about Tim Russert, they threw a bone in his direction, and it was very complimentary, which I was surprised about, because they're feuding with NBC and MSNBC and NBC, of course, and CBS and ABC, everybody. There was, live sound bites from the presidential candidates and the also-rans and people who worked on the staff, and then they went into the viewing, which is almost a state-like viewing, and then live coverage at the eulogies. And you would have thought that somebody important passed away. He was a TV celebrity, no more and no less. Juxtaposition that against the young man who gave his life in service of his country, saved four other soldiers by throwing himself on a hand grenade. He received the Medal of Honor. And, Peter, do you even know his name?
I saw the news account of the ceremony, but I don't know his name.
10 seconds, or 15 seconds is what we got here. They showed the Bush passing the medal over to the mom saying a couple words, and that was it. There is no glorification of a soldier who has the Medal of Honor, or even more than just passing sort of notice on any of the networks. The war in Iraq has completely been forgotten, as far as I'm concerned, and yet this celebrity, who wasn't a brain surgeon. He didn't cure cancer. He didn't invent something that's going to revolutionize the way that people live in the future. Nothing. He was a celebrity, and that is basically it. He hosted one Saturday show for an hour. Peter, I do 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I'm not comparing myself to Tim Russert. I'm just saying, you know, they always say, well, he was well-prepared. He was a great, he was fair and firm. It's ridiculous. Nothing against him. I like the guy for the most part. But it's the what happened after him. And I think it's like these celebrity journalists that are across the network. They want to be him when they die. That's my only answer. And everybody else, the heroes that are fighting the fires, and it sounds cliched, the heroes that go out and police our streets every day, the guys in Iraq and Afghanistan and the gals, they just get nothing. It's disgusting.
And after a break, we'll continue in a similar thread. Lara Logan, the CBS correspondent from Baghdad, has gotten a promotion. And as she's accepting that, she's critical of her own network for not covering the war in Iraq. We'll talk about that much more as we continue. You can join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off southbound 1 after Park Avenue. Getting reports of a couple of guys riding their bicycles on the side of the roadway, so definitely drive with caution there. Southbound 1 after Fremont, we have a skateboarder apparently riding a skateboard on the right shoulder of the freeway there. Drive with caution there as well. For Carmel, Rio Road at Highway 1, an earlier crash. A couple of cars had lanes blocked. That's been moved out of the way. And Soquel Drive at Mission Drive, an earlier crash. A bicyclist hit by a car. The good news, no injuries there. That's still being settled. In a nearby parking lot, CHP is on the scene. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. Now, if you spot a traffic collision, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
The Peter B. Collins Show, playing Gwen Stefani. In honor of Lara Logan, have you caught her act? She's a really good reporter. She's been in Baghdad for about a year and a half or two, reporting for CBS Television News. She's just gotten a big promotion essentially, she's going to become the Christian Amanpour of CBS, spending about half her time in the U.S. and half in other countries as the top foreign policy or national security correspondent. Now, this is interesting, and there are two angles. One's a little tabloid, and the other you know about. Lara Logan was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart one night last week, and she, I think, was kidding, but she talked about how tough it is to get a report from Iraq on American television today. And she was joking with Stewart that, yeah, I call up New York, and I say I've got the bureau chief here, and we're going to explode an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade, unless they put my story on the air. Now, Scott Dick, that was a joke, but underscoring it is that since Lara Logan has been redeployed, CBS doesn't even have a dedicated correspondent in Baghdad. They have a single producer there.
Well, she was honest. I saw that, and I saw where the humor, the smile went out of her eyes. And I was surprised. I watched that clip again because I thought for a minute that maybe Stewart had cut her off. But the light went off of her face completely when she was talking about how the troops, and this was almost lost in Stewart's, normally he has impeccable timing, but in this case he had bad timing because he sort of walked over. She said the troops there in Iraq and Afghanistan feel absolutely abandoned. And that was the key that is, what the key phrase, and that should be replayed all over. And why that hasn't, that statement alone hasn't got press on her own network and the other networks is pretty amazing. She's a senior correspondent. Everybody's a senior. I just gave that that title to my intern. You know, but she is a mature news junkie. She's been working this story for a long time. She knows what she's talking about. And yet, it's like she was, saying that her favorite perfume is something, you know, whatever. It's not crazy. It's completely normal. If you look at corporate media, they have no interest in pursuing a story that is not going to either bring them ratings or money. And if you look at their corporate advertisers, GE is one of the biggest governmental contractors in the United States, I think, and they produce a lot of equipment, like, you know, weapons-like equipment, too. And so when you get to the other corporations that own the networks, then I'm not surprised. Katie Couric and that one reporter, Peter, we talked about before, who said her stories were actually killed rather than aired, cleared, because of their sort of, I'll put quotation marks around, controversial nature. In other words, they were asking serious questions about the war in Iraq, intelligence, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm glad she made the point, and as I put it in the context of her promotion, because she seems to be confident enough that she's not going to get fired, who was that woman from MSNBC who criticized its coverage of Ashley Banfield? And she just disappeared. I mean, she must be in a TV witness protection program somewhere.
Well, Deborah Norvell got fired during the first Gulf War because she was critical of some of the statements that she was questioning. I heard it. She was actually questioning either a Pentagon spokesman or a general about their claims that their weapons, their smart bombs, are so accurate. And she said, the quote was, but there have been other mishits, haven't there? And she was gone within weeks.
Yeah. Well, and in one of the TV trade emails that I get every day that came in this morning, they reported a little bit of the gossip side about Lara Logan. Apparently, she had an affair with a guy while they were both serving in Baghdad. The guy is married and has a child. And Lara Logan is now being labeled a homewrecker. I don't know all the details, but you can probably find it there at the check stand, right next to the chewing gum. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. If you have a question or comment about military veterans matters, we want to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And our new senior correspondent here at the Peter B. Collins Show is Joshua Emerson Smith. He's taking your calls today, so be nice to him when you check in.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Supreme Court upholds once and for all the Second Amendment. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court overturned Washington, D.C.'s handgun ban and decided once and for all the Second Amendment was written to prevent Congress from ever disarming the citizens' militia in favor of a politicized standing army. And the only way to protect the citizen militia from being disarmed is to protect individuals from being disarmed. So, I guess that means the NRA can finally stop sending me those emergency telegrams warning me that my gun rights are under attack unless I send in $35. Well, actually, no, it doesn't mean that. In fact, over at the Second Amendment Foundation, Alan Gottlieb is getting ready for a whole new string of lawsuits and a whole new set of questions, such as, if the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, how about the right to buy arms?
There also are laws in D.C. that don't allow anybody to sell firearms, so there are no gun stores in D.C. for anybody to buy a gun. If you live in D.C., it's illegal to go across the lines to Virginia or Maryland to buy a handgun.
And then there's the question of the reasonable waiting period.
But obviously places like New York City where it's 6 months is unreasonable. Some states where it's 2 weeks is unreasonable. If your life is being threatened, you know, maybe 1 minute is unreasonable.
So I guess we're headed back to court. At least now we can see if the gun lobby was right. Once guns are legal again in D.C., the homicide rate should go down. I'd send them $35 to see that. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the veggie out, or the wild mushroom dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eats, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lapert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's a pizza paradise located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's a pizza paradise.
582-9149.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart, Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Come on, let's all grunt together. That's the late, great Edwin Starr. Beats Don't Fail Me Now. Takes you back to the Vietnam era, about 1970. That was a summertime hit on the radio. Scott Dick with us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you have a comment or a question about military, veterans issues, Iraq, Afghanistan. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about a dust-up between Pakistan and Afghanistan. But, Scott, I wanted to take a moment here to tag on to what we discussed in the preceding segment, which is the sharp reduction, a near blackout, by the American networks of coverage from Iraq. And at the same time, they permit American politicians of both parties to come on TV and say the surge is working. And they use a scoreboard, basically, of American fatalities to measure that, and then it's just kind of left at that level. Well, I want to take a minute here to just detail some of the recent stories that didn't make it onto American television. Last weekend, a female suicide bomber killed 15 people and wounded 40 in the central courtyard of Bakuba. At the same time, on that very same day, four people were killed west of Kirkuk, where Kurds, Sunni Arabs, and Turkmen are vying for control by a roadside bomb that struck their car. Insurgents also struck another part of Diyala on Sunday. Three Iraqi soldiers were killed by a large roadside bomb near Muqdadiya in central Diyala province. And about 20 gunmen abducted five shepherds near Buriz, south of Bakuba. Now, that's just one day's of reporting from Monday of this week. On Thursday, the New York Times reports American soldiers fatally shot three Iraqi bank employees as their car passed a convoy near the Green Zone. It was one of two bloody episodes on Wednesday in which the American military and Iraqi officials offered sharply different accounts of what had happened. Hours earlier, an American helicopter fired missiles into a home near Tikrit, killing a family of five. And that one began when men heard people prowling outside their home in the darkness and went out to confront them, and it turned out they were American soldiers. And fire was exchanged, and then the aerial assault was called in. On the same day, gunmen assassinated the municipal director of the town of Mosul, Khalid Mahmoud, and his driver, the latest in a string of killings of teachers, lawyers, and other professionals in the city. Now, that's just a snapshot from two different days of what's going on in Iraq and what is not reported on the primary source that Americans use to get their news, and that's commercial television.
Well, Peter, you're just going after the bad news. I mean, think of all the good news that's coming out of Iraq. I mean, that's been all over the airwaves.
You mean like we need $100 billion to repair the military equipment that's been destroyed in this war, including a lot of National Guard material?
And the person that walked into a meeting of the Sunnis that are helping the Americans and killed 30 people, including two American Marines, plus a couple days ago when the council member came out of either going into some dispute whether he was coming out of the meeting and going into the meeting, went to the truck of his car, took out an AK-47, and shot a bunch of people, killing two Army soldiers. See, that's the... This is, Peter, this is part of the, I believe, the information, the manipulation of the information environment. And part of that, and I'm looking at four different parts in that, part of that is the whitewashing of Bush policies in the administration. And a key intent of that is to create a viable presidential candidate out of a mediocre senator who is really running to create Bush's third term. So... By selectively reporting stories out of Iraq and Afghanistan, you're helping this whitewash the Bush administration because the surge worked.
And let me just jump in here with a quote to buttress your point. This is from George W. Bush at a Republican fundraiser in Michigan on Wednesday, just outside Detroit. Casting the 2008 election as one in which, quote, the American people are going to have a clear choice when it comes to protecting our country and winning the war on terror.
And Bill O'Reilly, left out on Fox Network, said that if Senator Obama is elected president, when he withdraws the troops, we're talking about investing in the oil industry in Iraq, then Al-Qaeda will come in and blow up all the oil fields. So he knows that Al-Qaeda has capability of moving into back into Iraq, and it's just part of that. And actually, that's part of one of the third parts of the information environment, that is, one is to continue to demonize a democratically led Congress so they can run on this do-nothing Congress, even though the Republicans are some of the biggest obstructionists that's blocking any kind of progress. The senator today is blocking 100 bills. 100 bills, Peter. And it's the Democrats that are doing nothing. This is a Republican senator. I forgot his name. And then the fourth part of the information environment is to continue to smear Senator Obama and his wife, Michelle, using innuendo, plain lies, and all the kinds of things, because he's a new threat to the Republicans, and he's going to be a very lucrative target here in the next couple of months. So what you're seeing and not seeing, I think, is part of that fourth leg of the information environment that they have to continue to manipulate, and unless we call them on it, then they will. This whitewash of the Bush administration policy, especially in regard to Iraq and Afghanistan, nobody of any kind of military expertise has stood up and said, Afghanistan is... We're losing Afghanistan, and it is the central front on the war on terror, or the war against terrorists is what it should rightly be called.
I agree. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And speaking of Afghanistan, the New York Times reporting on Thursday that Afghanistan is now pointing a finger publicly at the ISI, which is the Secret Intelligence Service, just across the rocks there in Pakistan. And this is a very sensational charge, and it is the accusation that the ISI of Pakistan organized a plot to assassinate Afghan President Hamid Karzai at a parade in Kabul in April. And there was an incident there. He survived it. But I believe three security people were killed in this attack. And, you know, I am just treating this as a first report. It could be simply an allegation from Afghanistan, but they are claiming that documents that they picked up, as well as confessions by suspects that they arrested, show that the real schemers and organizers of the terrorist attack are the intelligence organization of Pakistan, the ISI, and its associates.
Peter, this should be... I'm really shocked at how uncovered this is. This could be a headline on every newspaper across America. And why is that? Because these are supposedly our two most important allies in the fight against terrorists. This is the equivalent of France accusing Germany or France accusing Spain of conspiring to conduct an attack against their president.
Mm-hmm.
It's monumental. And we have spent and lost $3 billion in Pakistan. We've lost American lives in Afghanistan trying to create a silk purse out of a sow's ear, if you will. And these are our major allies. And And it's just sort of a, well, you know, those people there, those Central Asians, they'll do what they, you know, and it's so little. It's like we expect this kind of chaos. And yet the whole purpose of the Bush strategy for the Middle East is to create calmness, to create democracy out of this chaos. It's a joke.
Well, and hey, what happens when your puppets start fighting? What do you do when you've got Hamid Karzai, our hand-picked leader of Afghanistan, and Perv, as I like to call him, Pervez Musharraf, the military dictator of Pakistan, who may or may not have been a party to the assassination of Benazir Bhutto, but at any way you slice it, he's a bad guy, and we've placed most of our bets on him.
It's, I don't know, you know, we've put ourselves in a position, and this is what everybody was saying before the Bush administration attacked a country that did us no harm, conducted a preemptive attack on a country that did us no harm while ignoring the country that harbored the architects of the attacks on the World Trade Center. So what do you do when you've gone completely in the wrong direction and now it's left you powerless to do anything else? And this is what everybody was telling. This is a geopolitical situation, Mr. President, that you don't understand because, one, you're the least curious president in all of our nation's history. Two, I don't believe that he has the ability to process stimuli very well. And so that means he's not very smart. And so we couldn't see the ramifications of why, for a century, we had left that alone, given all the carnage and bloodshed. And we didn't really need to feed that beast in the 80s by giving it the 650 tons of precursors for poison gas and other weapons of mass destruction, which we gave him. Luxembourg gave him that stuff. France gave him that stuff, sold him that stuff. So everybody was pretty smart to say, this is the powder keg created on purpose by the great powers of 1918, 1920, 1921. Leave it alone. But he couldn't do that because I believe, Peter, he was too dumb to understand the true ramifications of that. And I think, given the incredible sort of revisionist history that Doug Feist and the, Richard Pearl and the rest of these guys are going through, that I don't think they may have understood it either, that you can't just take something like a concept like democracy and say, hey, I'm bringing you a present. And what is it? Well, I'll wait till I get there. And then he walks in the door and says, I'm here. What present did you bring me? I brought you democracy. And they're like, huh?
Well, it's working really well. I mean, think of all those purple thumbs.
Yeah. I mean, the whole concept of taking democracy, giving it to people, is so ridiculous, Peter. It defies intelligent bashing because there's no way that you can take the, you know, you see my frustration at trying to explain how...
Right, it's a kind of messianic approach where you are so taken with your own philosophy and, kind of a parallel to religion, that you believe that everybody else wants it as much as you do.
And it isn't even something that you can grab hold of.
Right.
Okay, but we can give you... along with democracy, this is what we'll give you. We'll give you armored Humvees and weapons, small arms, pistols, bullets, because if anybody gets in your way on this road to democracy, you can kill them. You see, Peter, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to bring, you know, and then they say, well, you got to break some eggs to make some omelets. Yeah, that's 4,110 American soldiers are the eggs that are broken, while the rest of the country goes on its merry way, going to parties and having birthdays and having celebrations, where we have, from the complete insanity of 13 or 14 American military being electrocuted while they are taking showers,
mm-hmm,
to friendly on friendly, you know, good guys on good guys killing each other, to just out and out boneheaded moves like using an aerial weapon like in a helicopter missile on a house.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, okay, just to refocus here Afghanistan, we've got this major conflict looming with Pakistan, and it'll be hard to keep those bullies apart. We have a mess in Iraq that we pretend is improving and pretend that the surge is working. And then we have a resolution ready to pop out of the House for a naval blockade of Iran. And yesterday, former CIA officer Ray McGovern was on our program and issued another warning that it appears that this administration, given the signals that we're getting indirectly from Israel, is prepared to launch some sort of aerial assault on Iran before the end of this president's term.
And, Peter, there's a fourth Doomheitness. I just made up a half German, half English word. That is, they just took North Korea off the terror list. Now, isn't that rich? Because, as you know, once they've given up their nuclear program, they're not terrorists anymore. So the kidnappings and the murders and the famine and the killing their own people and repressive government, that's all gone. And we did regime change in Iraq for just as much as what now we've taken them off the terror list. So it means the sanctions are going to come down, which means pretty soon we'll be able to go on vacation there.
In North Korea?
North Korea.
Oh, I can't wait.
You won't be able to eat anything, but no, there'll be plenty of food for a tourist. But just, you know, you'll see starving people around. No, you won't see them either. I forgot, it's North Korea.
Well, for $10, we can get a ride on a Taipodong 3 missile.
Oh, baby.
Hey, Scott, you just said nuclear.
Yes.
Thank you.
I've been practicing just for your show, Peter.
All right. He don't say nuclear no more.
I said it the other night, but my excuse was I was grotesquely fatigued.
Yeah, just like Hillary and Tuzla.
I just ducked when I said nuclear.
Scott Dick with us. One more segment. Call us if you'd like. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's still the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off southbound 1 after Park Avenue. Getting reports of a couple of guys riding their bicycles on the side of the roadway, so definitely drive with caution there. Southbound 1 after Fremont, we have a skateboarder apparently riding his skateboard on the right shoulder of the freeway there. Drive with caution there as well. For Carmel, Rio Road at Highway 1, an earlier crash. A couple of cars had lanes blocked. That's been moved out of the way. And Soquel Drive at Mission Drive, an earlier crash. A bicyclist hit by a car. The good news, no injuries there. That's still being settled. In a nearby parking lot, CHP is on the scene. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. Now, if you spot a traffic collision, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
With gentleness overcome anger, with generosity overcome meanness, with truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Those who start wars never fight them.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who fight wars never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
Time to go home.
Time to go home.
We continue with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A shout out to our weekend listeners in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, and Missoula, Montana. Thanks for listening, and drop us your feedback by email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And Scott, we started off earlier talking about John Yoo and the torture team testifying on Capitol Hill. And during the break there, I was just looking at some emails and stuff, and I'm just infuriated by this. Glenn Beck, who's a right-wing radio talk show host and who is on the CNN Headline News Channel with a show every night, offered this in response to the Supreme Court ruling that gives the prisoners, as you properly have called them, at Guantanamo Bay, a right to challenge their detention in civilian courts. Glenn Beck, quote, "We're going to shoot them all in the head. If we think that they're against us, we're going to shoot them and kill them, period. Because that's the only thing we've got going for us, is we can put them away and get information. If we can't put them away and they're going to use our court system, kill them." Now, this is, it's immoral and it's downright un-American.
Well, it's a war crime, Peter. And last night I played not only his clip, but the clip from Bill O'Reilly from the Fox Network. Did I say O'Reilly? I meant O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly saying almost the same thing about, if a prisoner knew where the enemy was and he didn't answer my question, well, it would be me before him. And my question is, well, that means for Bill O'Reilly, we're going to be fighting the Australians or the British or somebody who speaks English, because I could just imagine him screaming in English, "Where's the enemy? Where's the enemy?" And the person not understanding what question he's asking, then he kills them because that's what he said he would do. Then you have Glenn Beck following that up. So this is where I get into the conservative who claims that they're superior to liberals because liberals are moral relativists and conservatives aren't. They believe in moral absolutes. And this is a classic case where you have two people who are both on TV and radio telling the American people it's okay to kill prisoners. Now, that's why we hung Japanese and German officers of not only high rank but low rank because mm-hmm. they summarily executed prisoners.
Right.
And the Geneva Convention, this is not some lame, wishy-washy liberal document. It says spies and saboteurs and war criminals, they don't have to be coddled. But before you declare somebody those, I mean, you can't not punish them. Of course you can punish them. But they have to have a hearing first. To be even a war criminal, it has to be declared a war criminal in some kind of form. You just can't say, oh, he's a war criminal, let's execute him. Because that's what the bad guys do. And the convention prevents that. And so even a spy, a saboteur, a war criminal, gets his day in court before he's executed.
Well, and this is, we have to assume that Glenn Beck has access to the same information that you and I have. McClatchy Newspapers published an investigative piece 2-3 weeks ago, which identified as many as 80 people who had been held at Guantanamo without being charged and without being given basic human rights, many of whom were tortured, who are absolutely innocent. And our own government has asserted and agreed that they are innocent.
The Chinese,
and we have the Uyghurs. I think that's where you're going.
Exactly.
Yeah. These are Chinese Muslims, and we permitted Chinese military officers to come to Guantanamo and observe our torture of these Chinese citizens, and then we figured out that we couldn't charge them with anything because they were innocent people who'd been sold into our custody by bounty hunters.
And now, Peter, we can't release them. You know why we can't release them? Because if they go back to China, the United States thinks they're going to be tortured or killed.
Yeah.
That is, I have this ironic scale. It's like a big United Way thermometer, and that just, like, blasts the top of that off.
And the lead plaintiff in this suit, his name is Huzaifa Parhat. He's one of the Uyghurs. His case was the first to be heard by a district court after the Supreme Court decision, and they said that he is entitled to a new hearing to determine his status. And you know what? He doesn't even know that yet, because he is being held incommunicado and has not been able to visit with his attorneys to get that news.
Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Becks of the world and the O'Reillys of the world do great disservice to this country because they slide in through the cracks in people's normal feelings, intelligence, these ideas that if you're against us, we can just kill you. And what that does is it doesn't allow for any kind of humanity. It makes us them. It makes us North Korea. It makes us Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia with Sharia law. It just doesn't separate us anymore from anybody. And so all of those kind of protections that we earned from all these different countries are evaporating.
But, Scott, we have blowhards bellowing this stuff on television. It must be true.
And night after night on radio, on right-wing hate radio, all across the country, the Michael Savages and the Glenn Becks. And Beck has credibility, Peter, simply because he's on television.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Scott, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I appreciate your passion and your good information.
Thanks, Peter. Always a pleasure.
Talk to you again real soon. That's Scott Dick. We're going to take a break and return, heading into the free speech zone next hour. We'll get an update on the Straight Talk Express and just how many wheels have fallen off. Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, will join us next to talk about Charlie Black's comment earlier this week to Fortune magazine that if there's another terrorist attack, it will benefit John McCain. Now that's something to brag about, isn't it? Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's been debated for centuries. Finally, today, the U.S. Supreme Court defined what is meant by the right to keep and bear arms.
The Constitution protects an individual right to possess a firearm unconnected with service in a militia and to use that arm for traditionally lawful purposes such as self-defense within the home. That historic declaration from the Supreme Court in a case that for the first time definitively interprets the Second Amendment. This ruling does not ban all regulation, CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Gun rights advocates now have a fully recognized individual right to bear arms, but gun control advocates now have a Supreme Court ruling that says that this right, like other rights in the Constitution, is not absolute.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A brutal day on Wall Street. The Dow dropped 358 points to close at 11,453, its lowest level in nearly 2 years. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
It was really the perfect storm of bad news. We had another big surge in oil prices to above $140 a barrel. We had downgrades in both the banking sector and the automotive sector. There wasn't a lot of good news for investors to grasp onto, especially with a holiday coming up. A lot of people just don't want to place any big bets right now.
The 4th of July is a week from tomorrow. Many Americans are starting a summer vacation week. But their travel plans may have changed. CBS News correspondent John Harshey reports.
Soaring fuel costs have forced Americans to cut driving and rearrange budgets, and they're pointing their fingers at Washington.
The common thread is the American people feel that the government can do more and should do more.
At Consumer Reports, Jeff Bartlett says fuel costs are changing the focus of car shoppers.
Fuel economy was the most important thing for about three-quarters of the respondents. About half said that they would actually pay extra to get a more fuel-efficient vehicle.
And a quarter are considering two-wheelers.
Either motor scooter or motorcycle.
John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Carrot and stick with North Korea. President Bush today welcomed Kim Jong-il's decision to give an accounting of his country's nuclear weapons program. The president eased some sanctions but said the North has to keep the promises it's made.
If North Korea makes the wrong choices, the United States and our partners in the six-party talks will respond accordingly.
He remains concerned about the North sharing nuclear technology with other rogue states. In Washington today, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama met with Clinton's top fundraisers. She gave them a pep talk about supporting Obama. But CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds says her role in the campaign remains unclear.
They've carved out a primetime slot for her at the convention. But beyond that, it's really not clear yet how much she will be campaigning for him, how she will be campaigning for him, or whether she will do a lot of campaigning for him.
They will campaign tomorrow in Unity, New Hampshire. This is CBS News.
Your lawn is for singing and laughing and pitching and catching, not stinging and biting and itching and scratching. So this weekend, get OrthoMax Lawn Insect Killer. Kills ants, fleas, ticks, and lots of other annoying lawn bugs fast. Keeps bugs away all season. Hey, lawns are for the good things in life. You know, fun, games, hugs, not bugs. Get OrthoMax this weekend. Lawn bugs gone all season long.
If you suffer from ear discomfort when you fly, do what many flight attendants do. Use Earplanes. That's Earplanes. Earplanes are soft, comfortable earplugs that help to regulate ear pressure on takeoffs and landings. Earplanes are available in the ear care section of all drug, discount, grocery, and airport shops. For more information, visit earplanes.com. So if you're planning to fly, make sure to buy Earplanes today in both adult and kid sizes. They're truly a small miracle. Don't travel without them. Earplanes.
Unhappy at work? It might be the job, but it might be the atmosphere of the place or even the looks of the people you see every day. CBS News correspondent Nick Young explains.
Is your workplace a little gloomy, lacking in cheer? A survey done by an interior landscaping firm found many employees say they would like to see some improvements.
It's windows you can open, plants and flowers near your workstation, brightly colored walls, more attractive colleagues, a more pleasant scent or odor, and pictures.
That's right, says Dan Solis of Echo Research. The people who took part in the survey said more attractive co-workers brighten up their workday. Nick Young, CBS News.
Atlanta police thought they might have a murder-suicide on their hands when they got a report of gunshots in the normally quiet, upscale Buckhead neighborhood. Turned out to be a guy firing a shotgun in his backyard. Sal Alston explained that he was shooting the squirrels that were eating from his bird feeder. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right, 35 and a half inches wide for the new refrigerator.
And then if you could do me a favor and measure the back splash over here.
If we can get everything done on the first project, then we can move on to the second one and have time to enjoy the three-day weekend.
It's time to blast through July 4th weekend. Right now at the Home Depot and Expo Design Centers, get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through July 9th in U.S. only. See store for details.
In spring, love is in the air. And so are a lot of other things, like pollen, dust, and that old romance killer, ragweed. So if you want to be able to see the love light in her eyes or his eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes so that nothing comes between you and amore.
Mm.
Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This one's for Straight Talk Johnny and his lobbyist pal, Charlie.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black. Why you never see bright colors on my back. And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down. Living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time.
Gosh, Johnny, you forgot lobbyists. You know, the K Street gang, struggling to represent corporate America. Cliff Schechter returns to our program right now. He's the author of The Real McCain, and he blogs like a mad dog at firedoglake.com. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing better than Charlie Black.
Aren't we all?
Now, this is...
Certainly Johnny Cash was, is, and always will be.
Yeah. And by the way, it just happened that I'm wearing black today. I got a black shirt, black jeans, and black socks. And I don't know what you're wearing. Cliff, you want to tell us?
Is this turning into some sort of a dirty phone call? Jeans and a T-shirt for me, Peter B. I just got back from 4 days of book touring in New York, and this morning, and can't be bothered to put on anything much nicer than that.
That's fine. You know the rules here. No shirt, no shoes, no problem.
I like it.
So Charlie Black gave this interview to Fortune magazine, and he'd love to take those words back, but he basically said that if there's another terrorist attack on the United States before November, it would be a big advantage for John McCain.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always nice when these guys give a window into their soul, as if we don't know this is what they're all thinking. You know, I guess Charlie Black had to fit those thoughts in between sometime in between meetings with dictators to find out what kind of lobbying he could do for them.
Yeah, but Cliff, was there a transaction we didn't hear about? Did Rudy Giuliani sell the rights to 9/11 to McCain?
That's a very good question. That's true. I think he did copyright it.
Well, Chris Matthews told us he owns 9/11.
Yeah, right. Wonderful thing to. The thing is that honestly, I mean, if for those of us who've been paying attention the last month or two, who are silly enough to pay close attention to this stuff as you and I do, obviously McCain has had what one could call a pretty horrible 2 months. State polls are showing him losing in all sorts of states that he needs to be winning. When you've got polls showing you losing in places like Virginia and in dead heats in North Carolina and North Dakota and stuff, you're in a lot of trouble.
15 points down in some of the national polls?
You're way down in the national polls. People aren't excited at all about your candidacy. You're tied to an incumbent who is seeming like he may actually have a shot at breaking below 20% approval rating. Was he down to in the latest one, 23 or something? I mean, it's getting to the point where it's almost ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be either a member of a cult or a missing part of your cerebrum to still approve of George W. Bush. So, I mean, really, if there's a terrorist attack, that's the thing that maybe gets people to think reflexively, not use their brains and say that they're scared of change and want to keep the incumbent, the devil they know, however horrible he is, in office. And John McCain, of course, is an extension of George W. Bush, even though I just saw a wonderful ad playing here in Ohio, how he stresses that he broke with Bush on global warming, which I really love. The McCain people have to waste money trying to tell us that he's not like Bush on
TV
right now.
Let's get to his jolly greenness in a bit, but since you invoked the least popular president in history, who's going to have a sewage treatment plant named after him in San Francisco, he gave a talk at a fundraiser in Livonia, Michigan. That's the
suburbs of Detroit, where I have some relatives, just yesterday. And he is rattling sabers as he promotes John McCain. He says, I know a lot about the Oval Office, the daily intelligence briefings, the unexpected challenges and the tough decisions that can only be made at the president's desk. In trying times, America needs a president who has been tested and will not flinch. We need to elect a president who knows what it takes to defeat our enemies. And this year, there's only one man who's shown those kind of leadership qualities, and that man is John McCain.
This is what George W. Bush said?
Yeah.
Does anybody actually even pay attention to what that walking hand puppet says anymore? I mean, seriously.
Well, apparently people who write checks to Republican campaigns do.
I guess so. And I mean, to me, you have to be such a sad soul at this point to even admit publicly that you voted for George Bush, much less support him right now.
He was there for 20 minutes and raised $750,000
for McCain. I guess they're out there because people like you and I, beyond whatever his silly politics are, took a look at this unbelievably callow, dry, drunk, pathetic excuse for a man who had never accomplished a damn thing in his life, had everything handed to him by daddy, was bailed out of everything he ever did wrong, didn't show up for military service, got arrested for drunk driving, and pretty much was an absolute screw-up, even though he had everything handed to him. And that apparently wasn't enough for people, enough people to say, my God, how can we even think of giving this guy the keys? And that's the worry with John McCain right now, the guy who was born to a father who was an admiral, a grandfather who was an admiral, is petulant and temperamental like Bush. Just because he went through a difficult experience over in Vietnam, that's supposed to erase the fact that he came from privilege, he married into privilege, he treated his first wife horribly. He's not lived up to anything he said he would do. He's flip-flopped on everything. It's essentially, let's get more of George W. Bush. I mean, and he doesn't understand the economy, doesn't understand who Sunnis and Shiites are. The question is, should we make that same exact mistake again of putting another person who's so demonstrably unready to be president in the Oval Office?
Very well made points there, and we've just begun. Cliff Schechter's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome to call in and talk with us about McCain, about the campaign. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Now, McCain has tried to separate himself from Bush on climate change, saying that he believes there's a problem and that human behavior is contributing to it. And he, he's kind of lukewarm in what he says, but he at least acknowledges the issue. But, Cliff, in the last week, he has danced on that grave in a way that is unbelievable. He's talked about how he wants to build 45 new nuclear power plants. He wants to lift the ban on offshore drilling. Although when he went to Santa Barbara for a fundraiser with Schwarzenegger the other day, he was lectured about it but didn't mention it. I mean, a Republican reflected on the oil spill there in 80-81 and just kind of rolled his eyes, and McCain didn't say anything. He's offering $300 million for somebody who can create the next Duracell.
The offshore drilling, that should play huge in Florida for him. Good move there. In 2000, he wasn't for offshore drilling. He was for a ban, and now he, of course, is for it. And he even made a statement recently that he would revisit whether drilling in Anwar. That was one of the biggest ways he pointed out what an independent and a maverick he was that he stood up to his own party on drilling in Anwar. Well, now he's willing to revisit that, too. What a joke. He's supposed to be a guy. So he admits that global warming exists, and that's supposed to be something that we're supposed to all be impressed by. He admits it exists. He won't do anything to prevent it. His whole cap and trade system on carbon emissions, we've now found out, is supposed to be voluntary. Well, because that works.
Well, interesting. McCain was pushed by reporters when they said, well, yeah, you drill offshore, you drill in the Arctic, and 20 years from now, you might have a 6-week supply of oil. And McCain said, well, but we need to do something for the, that's psychological for the American people. And Obama had a good rejoinder to that. He said, when you hear that, what it means is it polls well.
Right. And that's true. I mean, to begin with, and second of all, what an utterly ridiculous statement that will help psychologically. I have an idea of what might help more psychologically. How about getting off of our addiction to oil? That would be a wonderful psychological benefit. How about, instead of talking about it, putting actual money into alternative energies.
But, Cliff, we can't. We can't. It's bad for jobs. It'll hurt the economy.
Right.
We got gas guzzlers. They got to guzzle. What are we going to do?
Right, because since Jimmy Carter was talking about in the late 70s, what we've done for oil has been so good for our economy, hasn't it? Done terrific things for all of us. I'm so glad that we have $4 a gallon gas out here. Probably worse where you are, Peter.
Yeah, we're hitting up toward $5 now.
It's we're hard. Up four here, and I was just home in New York, and they're getting up towards $5 in some spots too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering these great economic benefits, the great economic damage of trying to move away from oil. What have been all these wonderful benefits of sticking with it? You know, I mean, and they never tell you that, of course, because if people knew that that what gas was below $2 a gallon before we went to Iraq and knew where we were now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you make that comparison, that's worked out really swell for us.
It's been a great investment, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I feel wonderful about it.
We're going to take a break and return. Cliff Schechter's new book, The Real McCain, is at your local bookstore. You can also find it at Amazon.com, and we had him up to number 120-something or something like that.
He hit 99 at one point, baby.
99? Wow. Into double digits.
That's cool. I know. It's pretty exciting stuff.
And also check out his blog at firedoglake.com. We're going to take a break and return. Your calls and comments welcome here. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to work.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Pretty quiet this afternoon. The good news, no stalls or accidents to report in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. South 101 near Bidabel Road, we've had reports of a grass fire burning on the shoulder. It's burned about a quarter of an acre out there so far. It looks like fire department has it under control. Just a little bit of smoke visible, and traffic is picking up in the area. Mar Vista Drive at Middlefield Drive in Santa Cruz County. We have a dog that's apparently walking in and out of the roadway. Drive with caution there. Southbound 17 at just past Bear Creek Road in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Piece of metal debris in the right-hand lane. Otherwise, Highway 17 currently checking and stalling accident-free. Heavy traffic when you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz, and it stays stop-and-go as you make your way down into Aptos this evening. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Cliff Schechter's with me, the author of The Real McCain. It's out in soft cover. A great value and a great read. And you can read his blog at firedoglake.com. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, I'm going to share some of my distress at a position that Barack Obama took today in response to one of the flurry of Supreme Court decisions that came out this week. One of the decisions he's made that I actually agree with is his decision to opt out of the $84 million limit if he had accepted the federal finance money to run his campaign in the fall. And Cliff Schechter, you may have an opinion on that, but I also want to ask you about John McCain's issues with public financing and the FEC. What do you think about Obama's move?
Well, in the end, I think, while it's something that I'm saddened that he had to do, because certainly I would rather that we had public financing, I understand it. Sometimes you really do, you have to do what you got to do, and I think that we're in an enviable position that Obama's not raising his money for the most part from the usual big tycoon suspects where McCain gets all of his money. He's raising it in small amounts from people across the country, large doses of it at least coming from there. And so I think that there's, the getting people involved is a good thing, but also hopefully, if he can win and some real reform can then be passed, if we can bring in a really much more progressive Congress, then we won't have to deal with this issue anymore.
Yeah.
But John McCain's proven that just to make a point for Obama to stay within the system and then put himself at a disadvantage. While McCain has the 527 groups, the Swift voters come back up, and McCain shrugs his shoulders as he's already doing, and saying, "Well, I can't control them, but I condemn them."
Yeah.
And obviously he doesn't try to control them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we lose that election, then there will be no reform at all, because McCain is a reformer in word only, not in deed. So that.
I think
it's a shame, but I think it's a good move for Obama.
It's also valuable to recall that the first candidate who opted out was George W. Bush in 2000.
That is a very good point.
Because he knew he could raise a lot of money from Daddy's friends and the oil patch, and it's what propelled him into the tie that allowed the Supreme Court to decide in his favor.
Exactly. It's what gave us 8 years of beautiful pictures on the ranch.
Yeah. Now, we have finally a fully constituted Federal Elections Commission, and the real Darth Vader, Hans von Spakovsky, is not a member of that panel. How do you think they will respond to the machinations of McCain, who said, "Well, I want public financing, but I'm not going to take the money. I'm just going to use it to get a bank loan and
get on the ballots in Ohio and
and try to shame Obama into a unilateral disarmament." And now with Obama opting out, McCain's kind of stuck, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I would hope they would do the right thing, but it's a sad thing when you kind of lost the faith in government regulators to actually, regulate and hold people accountable and do what they're supposed to do. Of course, what McCain did is very obviously breaking the spirit, if not the letter, of the law. I can't say that I have faith that anything's going to be done about it, quite frankly.
Well, you wouldn't expect him to know the intricacies of that law, would you?
McCain?
Yeah.
Of course not. It's not like he ever did anything with campaign finance law. To him, campaign finance science law is like the difference between Sunnis and Shia.
Yeah.
Or the economy.
Now,
this is one of those things that's out there, you know, that he casually, it's only money that's in both of their names where he could then take 50% of that. But he had to, he knew that obviously ahead of time. So I'd have to think that with the kind of money that she has, that if she actually really did want him to become president, they would have something like that set up. But I don't know. He hasn't done it so far, so I don't know what to say.
I disagree with your take a little bit here, because I think that the Clintons showed us that you can access community property money. It's very clear that the $10 million that she borrowed from their largesse, their savings, whatever it is more than she earned from her books.
Well, yeah, but I think if that's what I'm saying. I think if I'm correct on this, if it's the way it works is if the money's in both of your names,
mm-hmm.
I think that then you have access to it.
Okay.
So I don't know their situation. I don't know if the money's in her name or if it's in both of their names. If it's in both of their names, then yeah, mm-hmm. you should have access to a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand it because they are, you know, they have 9 houses. I know it'd be really pretty tough to struggle by with only, let's say, 8 or 7.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all have to go through that down period sometime.
Now, has Senator McCain weighed in on the threat that the Dutch might buy Budweiser, a Dutch company?
Yeah, I was just reading about that. I haven't. I think it's a Belgian company.
Okay.
Just whatever. I don't mean to. No big deal. In any case. I would think so, you know, but I haven't heard him weigh in. I mean, come on, where is he coming out and telling us how it's got to remain a good old American company?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the McCains are that they're beer money folks.
Right.
They don't want to be making their beer money from foreigners.
Well, Cliff, coming up in the next half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, our wacky reporter R.J. Shulman will check in, and one of his headlines is, new book asserts that McCain is more of a Pinto than a Maverick.
Ooh.
Details on the way soon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Cliff, thanks for joining us. The Real McCain. Pick it up and read it. And read his blog at firedoglake.com. Thank you, Cliff.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to join me. It's summertime, some people on vacation. The lines aren't jammed, so it'll be a short wait. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And in a moment, I'll tell you why I think it's a shame what Barack Obama said today.
The way you mess around with the man, it's a shame. The way you hurt me, it's a shame. The way you mess around with the man, I'm sitting all alone on the telephone, waiting for your call. When you don't call at all, it's a shame. The way you mess around with the man, it's a shame.
Trashed out, dashed out, trashed out.
Well, thank you so very much, Fat Boy Slim. That is the indicator that R.J. Schulman is prepared to report, as only he can do, from the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. It is the courageous publication that is never intimidated and never cleans up the mangled language in the quotes from the President of the United States. R.J. Schulman, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter B. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. I understand you're on a reportorial journey. Where are you right now?
Yes, right now I'm gathering some information in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, great. On legal seafood, maybe?
It's too secret right now to talk about it, but as soon as we have the information, you'll be the first to know.
All right. Well, top headline at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, GOP, the only thing we have to fear is the lack of fear itself. What's this all about, RJ?
Yeah, that's correct. The GOP has realized that the reason they have fallen so far behind in the polls and out of favor is that they have not done enough fear-mongering, and they've done too much war-mongering instead. And so what's happened is instead of making us all afraid, so afraid that we vote for them, they've lost their focus.
So do you think this is why Charlie Black slipped out with that comment about how McCain will benefit if there's a terror attack?
I think so. I mean, terror attacks definitely help the GOP, and they're working on some really good ones right now, and as soon as we find out more, we're going to let you know.
And here's a quote from John Boehner. That's the way he likes to pronounce his name. It's actually Boehner in German. The only way we can lose the war on terror, he said, is not to be terrified enough.
And that's exactly right. I think he was being really honest there. And unfortunately, the corporate media has missed this one completely.
Karl Rove weighs in, thanks to Barack Obama, we still have fear of the black man to exploit, but we sure have a lot of work to do on building fear back up to level red.
Yeah, that's right, and there's no better person to do that than Karl Rove.
Well, and he's been making some comments recently blaming the New York Times for the work he did exposing Valerie Plame Wilson. That guy is just, he can spin with the best of them.
I know, it's just amazing. It's always somebody else's fault. You know, it's not, you know, whether you win or lose, it's, you know, how you shift the blame, and I guess that's, he's the king of that.
And RJ, on this fear up element, we've got Bush weighing in, quote, the least that I can do is to put my stamp of veto on any bill not scary enough to make people remember that we're in a war where we are the good guys who are willing to torture, kill, and destructify for peace, justice, and the American way of corporate life. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, but that is the real quote, and again, you won't catch that in the corporate media.
It always gets edited and scrubbed. It's amazing. Next up is a story entitled, Bush Discovers He's Not Descended from Texas Cowboys, but is a Rich Kid from Connecticut. Now, RJ, in the Oval Office a day or two ago, he received the President of the Philippines, and he was wearing cowboy boots. Now, they looked fairly clean. I didn't notice any manure clinging to them. But apparently it led him into this disarmed moment where, in trying to compliment the Filipino people, he talked about the cook staff and wait staff at the White House. And he did it in a way that really seemed condescending, patronizing, and downright offensive. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty much in keeping with what he normally does. It was amazing it even got out. And we heard about it.
Yeah. So this is Dateline Crawford, Texas. President Bush told reporters he was totally in shock to have discovered that he was really a child of wealth and privilege rather than coming from a long line of wranglers from the Lone Star State. You could have knocked me for a loop with a horse feather, Bush said, but apparently my granddad was a rich and powerful senator from Connecticut who traded with the Nazis and not some cowpoke from Amarillo who traded with the Indians. He's only learning this, what we've all known for years?
Yeah, I mean, he was so convinced that that's who he is and where he came from that this was an absolute shock, and we were there to catch that unguarded moment when he actually admitted that.
And this is a power quote, again, unscrubbed from W. Bush here. At first, I thought that little kid was a lying enemy combatant, but then Laura told me it was all true just before I sent the lad to Guantanamo. Here I was thinking I was a hardworking man of the people who made it from the sweat of his brow clearing ranch brush, and I find out I'm a man of war from a rich and powerful family who handed everything to me on a silver spoon. Wow.
Yeah, that's again, you've got the quote exactly right. I mean, he really thought it was a cowpoke, but it turns out he's really basically a mental slowpoke, and
yeah.
So that's more of a correct, assessment of who he is. So he's going to have to deal with that, and he's going to have to, maybe rethink everything because that has come as a better blow to him.
And headlines for stories we don't have time for. McCain and Obama to drop out of presidential race, Cheney to run on both tickets, and the one we mentioned a little earlier, new book asserts that McCain more of a Pinto than a Maverick. Read all about it at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. That's PTSD.1, the number one, .blogspot.com. RJ Shulman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter B. Talk to you soon.
All right, great to talk with you. That's reporter RJ Shulman here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, I want to get serious for a moment, and I invite your calls on this or any other subject that you care to talk about today. Earlier in our opening segment with Faz Shakir, I mentioned that while I've always been opposed to capital punishment, I feel that the Supreme Court decision, 5-4, that overturned a Louisiana law that called for the death penalty for child rape was, on balance, a good decision. And Justice Kennedy, who wrote for the majority, said that fundamentally, capital punishment should be reserved for someone who has taken the life of another. And that while child rape is onerous and barbaric, subhuman, revolting, we cannot create an irrational system of crime and punishment. And I find this encouraging, that this Supreme Court, packed with these right-wing conservatives, found middle ground, it was a compromise, clearly, and stated that you can't execute somebody if they haven't taken somebody else's life. Now, you're welcome to agree or disagree with my position on this, and you're welcome to agree or disagree with the Supreme Court. And I want you to know that I'm not surprised that Barack Obama supports the death penalty. I've known that. But I am shocked and disappointed that he issued a statement commenting on the Supreme Court decision and criticizing it. Obama declared his support for the death penalty both in principle and in the specific cases under consideration by the High Court. Quote, I have repeatedly said that I think the death penalty should be applied in very narrow circumstances for the most egregious of crimes. I think that the rape of a small child, 6 or 8 years old, is a heinous crime, and if a state makes a decision that under narrow, limited, well-defined circumstances, the death penalty is at least potentially applicable, that does not violate our Constitution. The Democratic presidential candidate argued that the High Court had gone too far in restricting the powers of the states. If the court had said, we want to constrain the abilities of states to do this to make sure that it's done in a careful and appropriate way, that would have been one thing. But it basically had a blanket prohibition, and I disagree with that decision. This puts Barack Obama in line with Scalia, Roberts, Thomas, and sorry, I'm forgetting the other. Oh, Scalia, Thomas, Roberts, Alito. That's who I was looking for. Thank you. And I do understand that Democrats feel to be elected that you've got to support the death penalty. But polls show that among voters, support for capital punishment is declining. And some are evaluating Barack Obama's move here and saying, oh, we heard this from Faz earlier today. He doesn't want to be like Dukakis. Remember that, Dukakis, in that debate, a famous exchange with Bernard Shaw of CNN? And Bernie said, you know, if your wife were raped, would you support the death penalty? And Dukakis gave a very weak answer. And there is a lot of this going on in the Obama campaign where they are very cautious about avoiding the obvious mistakes of the past. Now, some of that can be smart. But as we've seen this week, where Muslim Americans have been ushered out of camera range of candidate Obama, that Keith Ellison, who was on our program earlier this week, the first Muslim elected to Congress, Democrat from Minnesota, that he was told to stand down from one campaign appearance for Obama at a mosque and another that wasn't at a mosque, it was just in North or South Carolina. And so at times we see Obama showing political courage, standing up to the panderers. But in a case like this, I can only say, sorry, Barack, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Stephen in Salinas, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. A couple of things. One, something that left out of that death penalty thing is if I'm a child molester and I brutally torture this kid, and I know I can get the death penalty for that, then what's to keep me from killing the kid and burying the body someplace?
Well, Steve, you're thinking rationally. And that's an important thing that this court, and you know I've got a lot of disagreements with the current majorities on this court, but they offered a rational guideline saying that capital punishment should be reserved for crimes where someone is killed.
And I'm afraid Barack is turning into an Al Gore. He's worried more about what Bill O'Reilly's going to say than saying what he thinks is right. I'm losing my confidence in him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing that I'll ding him for is that he hasn't shown leadership on the FISA bill. And he has, you know, said that he doesn't like the immunity part, but he doesn't consider that to be that consequential. And I'm really disappointed there. I think this is one of the most critical constitutional issues of our time. He's a constitutional law professor from the University of Chicago, and I expected things that would be more progressive and not so conservative.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, Steve, thank you. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B. What do you think about this? If you're an Obama supporter, tell me what your thoughts are. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can grab a podcast of the Peter B. Collins Show and share it with a friend. The link is on my homepage, www.peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Smith is our new assistant producer here taking your call, so ring in at 888-5-PETER-B. It'll be nice to Josh, 888-573-8372. He's in his first week here doing really well and figuring out how it all works, and happy to receive your phone calls again at 888-573-8372. Talking about Barack Obama and his criticism of the one recent Supreme Court decision that I thought was half good. New York Times editorializing about the 5-4 decision overturning Louisiana's child rape death penalty law, and writing for the majority, Justice Kennedy, in his opinion, and I'm now quoting from the New York Times, quoting him, Justice Kennedy's opinion had a proper and welcome skepticism about the death penalty in general, warning that when the law punishes by death, it risks its own sudden descent into brutality, transgressing the constitutional commitment to decency and restraint. And the oldest jurist on the Supreme Court, John Paul Stevens, issued a solo dissent in a recent case saying that he is now completely opposed to capital punishment. And the Times editorial goes on, we hope the court will one day declare the death penalty unconstitutional in all cases. Until it does, the increasing limits it is placing on capital punishment is an encouraging development. Susan in Soquel, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's hard these days.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about the word you used, disappointed. I'm disturbed, not disappointed, because you can only be disappointed if you expected something.
Mm-hmm.
And since we never really, this guy was never really vetted before, we didn't really know him or what he, you know, what he's done or been capable of, then there's no way you can really be disappointed because,
well, Susan,
you know, you
that,
have yet to see what he's going to do.
That's a little sweeping. I don't think it's fair to say he hasn't been vetted.
As I said, I
knew he supported capital punishment. I didn't know that he would criticize this Supreme Court decision.
This is pretty intense, plus his lack of support for FISA, plus what you said about Ellison is really disturbing. That really gets me,
mm-hmm.
because he is also a fellow legislator. You know, it's not like he's just a mayor from little town, and he shouldn't do it anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm feeling that if you look at the history, Obama was really brought to us by the media. He wasn't brought to us through our own choosing. He and Hillary were chosen by the media, which makes me think that they were chosen by the powers that be all along for specific reasons, whatever they may be, because we the other guys never had a chance. They weren't even shown for the most part.
Well, I share some of your thoughts here, Susan, but again, I think that by saying that the media has decided this for us is oversimplifying. I do agree. Hold on a sec. I do agree that the media marginalized some important voices, Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel, in a way that was gratuitous.
But also Edwards, who was very popular. You know, he didn't even. I mean. It's just absolutely amazing to me what has gone on this past year.
All right, but I don't think Edwards bailed out because of the media. I think that, unfortunately, you know, the Obama thing is a movement and is bigger than ordinary politics, and Edwards thought that he could win by betting everything on Iowa, and that was a big mistake.
I don't know what's true there, but what I do know is Obama really can't have my support. Because his stance is antithetical to a lot of what I believe in.
So I don't know who I'll vote for or
if I'll vote, but I can't support him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just too out of line for me. And, you know, I don't think he was ever really a progressive.
Well, I've never called him a progressive, and I think that, you know, he is less of an institutional figure than Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. He's, in my view, you know, not part of the old Democratic establishment. But that's not to say that he is a raving liberal or, you know, somebody who is going to achieve all of the change that people project on him. I still think that, you know, any day of the week he's better than McCain, and I still prefer him over Hillary Clinton. I really could never find common ground to support
him. Well, he's a great promoter, that's for sure, and he knows how to raise money. And I don't know, you know, I don't like McCain at all, but he is such a panderer that if his popularity was 25%, he might move in the right direction. Who knows?
All right,
who
Susan.
Knows?
I'm always glad to debate with you. Thanks for your call today.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
All
Hi.
Right. And now Karen in Sacramento. Welcome, Karen. It's good to hear from you.
It's nice to hear from you from this apocalyptic air in Sacramento.
Yeah, we've got it.
Well, our comedy papers have already been portraying Obama as a moderate, so I was not shocked. However, I just emailed you a letter just as you started this segment, because I've got an undercover agent friend of mine who blogs on the Daily Cause, and he says Harry Reid just agreed to delay the FISA vote until after July the 4th.
Hallelujah.
In response to all of our good progressive people out there working hard.
Well, this is a moment, all right, and I'll accept the moment. We need to go to work here because here's a this is a letter that was written by Dianne Feinstein to our listener Chris in Salinas, who forwarded it to me. And she talks about the FISA bill, and, you know, she says, I strongly believe that this bill is better than the version the Senate passed in February, which I opposed, which is true. It's one of the few times I agreed with a vote of hers on an issue like this. It was also a major improvement from the Protect America Act last year. But one of the phony things that she asserts here in this letter to her constituent, Chris, is that if they hadn't passed this, let me find it here. If they hadn't passed it, that we would be exposed, and that some of these efforts would have expired. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find it here in the email, and I'm not seeing it right away. Anyway, it's so really.
More of the scary stuff from her, where Harry Reid says senators will take a closer look at this deeply flawed legislation and understand how it threatens the civil liberties of the American people.
Yeah. Here's an article from The Hill that was just posted. The Senate hit impasses, forcing Democratic leaders to push back consideration of the measures until next month. So I am encouraged by this. What we need to do is push people like Russ Feingold, because he's been wobbling. He talked about possibly filibustering, we need to support that, because the more attention we can draw to this and the longer we can keep this from passing, the better off we'll be. At minimum, I want to see the amnesty for the phone companies eliminated, but we got to look at other parts of this bill, too, because it stinks all over the place. Karen, thank you very much. Good to have you listening online from Sacramento. I'm Peter B. Collins. Join me again tomorrow right here.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A big decision from the Supreme Court today. After skirting the issue for 200 years, the High Court has defined the Second Amendment, saying Americans have a right to own guns for self-defense. The 5-4 ruling overturned a gun law in Washington, D.C. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports.
It was a victory for a group of Washington, D.C. residents who challenged the 32-year-old D.C. ban on owning handguns. Under the ban, security guard Richard Heller could have a gun at work, but not at home.
I'm very happy that now I'm able to defend myself.
I am disappointed in the court's ruling.
Very unhappy, though, are D.C. officials, who argue the handgun ban has kept thousands of guns off the streets and saved hundreds of lives.
Now, says CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen, the limits of the High Court's decision will be tested.
I think we'll now see challenges to less restrictive gun control legislation. Remember, the D.C. handgun ban was among the most severe in the nation. And honestly, I don't know that anyone knows right now how those future cases are going to pan out.
It's been a day Wall Street would like to forget.
We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average about to close out its worst June since the Great Depression. And a lot of that has been fueled by the jump we've seen in oil prices.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. As the price of crude oil jumped $5 to $140 a barrel, the Dow dropped 358 points to 11,453. Gasoline is expected to rise another 10 cents a gallon, and OPEC's president says he thinks oil will peak this summer between $150 and $170.
Consumers and the financial markets will probably have to adapt to the fact that oil prices, energy prices, commodity prices for that matter, are going to stay at loftier levels for a while.
Eugene Peroni of Investors Asset Management. With more American commuters leaving their cars at home in favor of mass transit, the House today voted $1.7 billion to help transit systems with their operating costs. North Korea, after years of tension, has won some favor with Washington by producing the records of its nuclear weapons program. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
As part of the bargain with North Korea, President Bush was quick to certify that it is not a state sponsor of terrorism. And National Security Advisor Steve Hadley says that's not just a political concession.